What I saw in that moment of what happened with the World Trade Centers, and it was horrific. Families devastated, lives lost. But in a moment, I got a glimpse of other believers in other countries around the world who live in that kind of condition every day of their lives, and yet they still forge ahead in trusting Him. They still get up every day and believe that maybe today a bomb won't go off. Maybe today I'll get to my destination and return home safely with all my limbs intact. When I return, I will have a house. When I return, I will have a family. They've learned how to forge ahead in trusting Him. And I want to say to all of us, and I say all of us, I mean myself as well, we have to learn how to live in this place of faith. The Bible says that every need you and I have is already met. And so at some point, our faith needs to shift from our stuff to other stuff for other people. And we have to grow in a way that we begin to recognize when Jesus said in Matthew 6, I believe it's verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's saying, all of your needs are taken care of. I have walked on this earth the last 30 years, the last 3 years or so with you all, demonstrating to you how my kingdom operates. And in my kingdom, there is no lack. In my kingdom, there is no disease. As a matter of fact, when my kingdom shows up, it overthrows lack. It overthrows sickness and disease. It destroys lack. It destroys poverty. It destroys disease. When my kingdom shows up, when my people who are part of my kingdom show up, that's why He said, when you go into this town, when you go into this location, He said, go in and heal the sick. Raise the dead. And then tell them the kingdom is at hand. Tell them my kingdom has arrived. So I want to say to all of us just in this moment, if you believe that this is a place where the kingdom resides, you need to be telling somebody. As a matter of fact, you don't need to just tell them. You need to go get them and you need to bring them. I'm not talking about your best friend. I'm not talking about your buddies. I'm talking about those who need the healing, delivering power of Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about forging ahead in trusting Him. And so while my heart ached concerning 9/11 and all that took place there, I also prayed for all of those every day, even right now. Praying for the believers in Ukraine and all over the world. It's hard, it's challenging unless you're intentional to look at it. Sometimes we don't want to look at the situation, but sometimes you got to look at it. If you're going to get through it, if you're going to get on the other side of it, you got to look at it. You got to face it. Faith. Come on, say faith.
Faith.
Come on, say forging ahead,
forging ahead.
In trusting Him. The enemy wants to bring you to a place where you begin to doubt God's faithfulness and goodness to you. So your trust begins to wane. You're no longer operating in faith. And all the things that happen in your life and mine are opportunities for us to grow in our faith, build us up, cause us to walk in a greater level of confidence so that when things happen, you don't stop. I said this a few weeks ago, and I felt like Holy Spirit spoke this to me personally. He said, the Father chose you because He knew you wouldn't stop. The Father chose you because he knew you wouldn't buckle. The Father chose you because he's watched your life over the years, and every time you could have stopped, every time you could have thrown in the towel, every time you could have given up, every time you could have walked away, you didn't do it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Every time the bell rang, you got off that stool and went back up to the middle of the ring and handled the business one more time. Is that you? Is that you? You might be saying, well, I want it to be. Hear me, but at some point, you got to know that it's you.
Yes.
Pastor Deborah was talking about knowing who you are, but you got to know. You got to know. You got to know that you're going to look crazy. You're going to look stupid because you won't stop. When life is beating you, circumstances and situations try to cast you down. You're down, but you're not out. That's when you're going to do like the coach told his football team before they went out and won the game and said, we're going to fight until we can't fight anymore. And when we can't fight anymore, we're going to lay down and bleed a while. And then we're going to get up and we're going to fight again. I'm talking about faith. Forging ahead. In trusting him. I like the way Les Brown said it. If you're going to fall, fall on your back. Because if you can look up, you can get up. I'm just trying to encourage us this morning. I'm encouraged. I really am. But I'm wanting to encourage you as well. I remember in the movie The Matrix. I know y'all. I'm not rambling, y'all. I'm really going somewhere here. How many of y'all saw The Matrix? And in The Matrix, there's this one particular lady called Trinity. And there's this scene where she's fighting, and she's on this rooftop, and she's got to get away from the assailant, the enemy. And she looks down, and she sees this window in another building. And she runs back, and she runs, and she jumps off the building, dives through that window, down a staircase. But when she lands, she lands on her back, and she's got a gun like this, waiting to see if something's coming through that window. And then right there, she says, get up, Trinity, get up. What's she doing? She starts talking to herself. We can't stay here. Get up, get up. And then she gets up. I'm saying to some of you, that's what you got to do. I'm talking about faith this morning. I'm talking about forging ahead in trusting him. Come on, just say to yourself, come on, get up. Just encourage the person next to you. Tell them, get up. Get up. No, you got to say it with some oomph behind it. Get up. Get up and praise him. Get up and bless his name.
Yeah. Come on.
Woo.
Get up and praise him. Get up and bless his name. Sing hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Get up and praise him. Get up and bless his name. Sing hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I felt a little something right there. Yeah, get up. Get up.
Get up.
Faith. I'm talking to us this morning about faith, forging ahead in trusting him. There is the need for all of us in seasons of our lives, and for many right now, you may find yourself in a place where things are really weighty on you. And so you need to hear this message. You need to get this on the inside of you. You must forge ahead in trusting him. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I want to use this as the backdrop. It's a familiar passage of scripture, verses 1 through 9, and it has to do with David. You mean if you know David was a warrior, he was a worshiper. David was intimately acquainted with and had a daily relationship with God exhibited through obedience. He was a worshiper. Do I have any worshipers here this morning? Come on, how many worshipers do we have? Oh, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. And it has nothing to do with whether you can sing or play. Now, these are some great worshipers up here. But it's not because they sing. It's not because he plays. They're intimately acquainted with and have a daily relationship with God exhibited through obedience. And that's what produces this kind of presence and this kind of atmosphere. I'm intimately acquainted with and have a daily relationship with God exhibited through obedience.
Yes, sir.
Push me one more time and you're going to see something. Now, that's what you got to say to the devil, not to the folk around you, okay? That's what you got to say to that circumstance. That's what you got to say to that boss that gets on your nerves. That's what you got to say to that child. No, wait. Not the child. You don't want to. I'm just having a good moment myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jewel. I wasn't talking about it. I saw you looking around. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, it says, 3 days later. Now, the 3 days later has to do with David and his men being out and coming back with an incredible victory. You must know this, that in seasons of victory in your life, the enemy will come right after that victory to attack you. That's when your faith has to kick in. That's when the forging ahead in trusting him has to kick in. We're in a battle, y'all. We're in a fight. This is warfare. I have the opportunity to travel all over the world, travel in many different settings with many different people. This week I will be doing a Zoom class. I will be teaching a Zoom class with a particular group of individuals. And then on Wednesday, I'm with another group. I'm meeting with someone else on Zoom. And what I've found is just this variety of thought around our Christian life. Some say, well, we shouldn't fight, we should just be at rest. Others believe in the seasons that we go through that are warfare. And you and I must know and discern the season that we're in, because there's times when God will have you in a season of rest. Then there's times when he says you need to suit up because it's getting ready to get tight. I have in my office, I have a really nice display, little statue display of armor someone gave me, of the armor of God. You all know the armor of God, helmet of salvation. What else?
Sword of the Spirit. The breastplate of righteousness. The feet of preparation. Sword of the Spirit.
Okay, now for the sake of those that are listening that didn't hear, understand any of that, let me just say it, okay? So we have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Loins are girded about with truth. Feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It is the shield of faith that causes us to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. So I have this little figurine statue of it, and it's nice. But I saw this one online, and I ordered it and got it too, so I have two of them. Because the other one, it looks like somebody that's really ready to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like to identify more with that one than this one. And you'd have to see them, and if you ever want to see them, just come up to my office, and you can see them. But the other one I got, it looks like a warrior. All suited up, ready to handle their business. So there are times when we are in rest, and then there's times when we must be suited up for battle. I like the way my friend Apostle Joel Brooks calls it. He calls it romantic warriors. In love with God, but we're warriors as well. We're worshiping warriors. David was a worshiper, and he was a worshiping warrior. He understood faith. He understood forging ahead in trusting him. For some of you, the best thing for you to do right now is to keep forging ahead in trusting him. Don't relent. Don't back up. If you need to pause for a minute, do that. Regain your strength. Regain your confidence. Regain your courage. And then step back into it. David and them had been out in an incredible victory. 3 days later, David and his men arrived back from Ziklag. Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They tore Ziklag to pieces and then burned it down. They captured all the women, young and old. They didn't kill anyone, but drove them like a herd of cattle. By the time David and his men entered the village, it had been burned to the ground, and their wives and sons and daughters, all prisoners. David and his men burst out in loud wails, wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, widow of Nabal of Carmel, had been taken prisoner along with the rest. And suddenly David was in even worse trouble. There was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning him. Then it says this: David strengthened himself with trust in his God. You see, the word of God says to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. At your best thinking, at your best ideas, you still want to acknowledge God. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It may be the greatest idea that's ever hit planet Earth. You still want to run that thing by God. David strengthened himself with trust in God. He ordered Abiathar, the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod so I can consult God. Abiathar brought it to David. Then David prayed to God, shall I go after these raiders? Can I catch them? The answer came, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you'll make the rescue. Now that's the Message version, I believe, and I love the way it says that. In the King James, he says, shall I pursue? And God says, pursue, for surely, surely you will recover all. I'm talking about faith, y'all. I'm talking about forging ahead in trusting him. There's something about being in a place of victory and then getting hit with something on the other side of it. It's not that we live in a place of always the anticipation of something going wrong. It's a sober place in life. Yeah. That as God is blessing, the enemy is always wanting to destroy. As God is moving, the enemy always wants to distract. And therein lies your need and mine to find this place of faith. Forging ahead in trusting him. David was in a crisis situation. It's not unlike the dynamics of life that you and I find ourselves dealing with crisis situations. crisis in some languages also mean opportunity. And I believe that as a people of faith, God would offer to us in every crisis, look at it as an opportunity. Crisis. An emotional significant event or radical change of status in a person's life. Crisis. That's what we see here with David. Things changed in an instant once they arrived and realized the reality of that situation. They were in crisis. Crisis, a decisive moment. A decisive moment. Do you think that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in crisis? Yes, she was. That's not a trick question. Yes, she was. An emotional, significant event or radical change of the status in a person's life instantaneously. Now she's dealing with crisis. In that moment, then it's a decisive moment for Joseph. Because Joseph had to make a decision. Do I put my wife away, the lady who I'm a spouse to marry, or do I marry her, take her as my wife, and keep walking this thing out? Crisis. An unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which a decisive change is pending. Now I need you to grab a hold of this. An unstable or crucial time or state of affairs, I'm talking about things going on in your world, in which a decisive change is pending, especially one with the distinct possibility of a highly undesirable outcome. That's when you need faith. That's when you need to be able to forge ahead in trusting Him. Meaning that while everything around you is up in the air and you're trying to figure it out, I am remaining in faith. I position myself in the place of faith, forging ahead in trusting Him. An unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which a decisive change is pending, especially one with the distinct possibility of a highly undesirable outcome. Sometimes I imagine, I try to put myself in the place of one of the disciples, one of the apostles who walked with Jesus. How that they walked with Him and then ended up seeing Him on the cross. Because you see, in those times, there were many who rose up and called themselves the Messiah. There were many who rose up as a leader, and people followed them. People followed them. And so you see later on in the book of Acts, when they're trying to decide what to do with the apostles and with the believers, I believe it's Gamaliel who stood up and said, listen, you know, we keep talking about doing something against them. Remember this guy that rose up? Remember this guy that rose up? When they died, the people dispelled. They dispersed. Said, it may very well be the same with Jesus. However, if he is who he says he is, then we need to be careful lest we find ourselves fighting God. But the disciples found themselves in crisis. And therein lies the need to forge ahead in trusting Him. There had to be the season for them of reminding themselves of what God has spoken down through the generations and what Jesus spoke to them when He was among them. The scriptures speak to all of us concerning our faith and how our faith is tested. We go through seasons when our faith is tested And we go through seasons of the need to exercise our faith to the next level. We learn what it means to forge ahead in trusting Him. So much of my journey and the journey of my family has been forging ahead in trusting Him. And over, watching Him do what He does best. Be God. And that's why I'm grateful for the grace to write the book, Same Faith, Same God. Because it's what it's doing in the body of Christ now. On Friday, Pastor, now Bishop Barry Clardy, who's over all the churches in Indiana, Church of God, he met me in the parking lot to buy another box of books. He said, I'm putting these into the hands of every pastor I oversee so they get into the hearts of every member that they serve. Amen. I see him posting pictures on Facebook where he's got the books laid out in the conference room for those that are coming to attend. God would that we all find this place of faith, forging ahead in trusting Him, forging ahead in trusting Him, forging ahead in trusting Him. Because here's the thing, you can talk about it, but as you go through life's experiences and things happen, it will bring to light what's really there and what's not there. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 24, verse 10, it says this. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Oh, I guess somebody felt that. Because we can preach it, we can teach it, we can talk it, but in adversity, if you faint, it says your strength is small. Another version says it this way. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. And then there's one more that I want to share because this one just really kind of hits home. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Yeah, I'm going to look up in the air so I ain't looking at anybody. Ooh. Can I read that one again? That is, yeah. Matter of fact, it's on the screen, so just read it for yourself. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. You see, it's not the scriptures you can quote. It's not the songs you can sing. It's not how well you play. It's not how well you sing. It's not how well you dance. It's not how well you dress up. It's when crisis hits your life and faith is found. It's when crisis hits your life and you forge ahead in trusting Him. I'm talking about when things happen and you don't see a way out. You just don't know, but you forge ahead in trusting Him. You see, I just believe that if I just keep moving, if I just keep going, and if I need to stop, I'm not stopping for good. I'm just pausing for a minute. And I may need to drop to my knees. But it's not because I'm giving up. One person said it this way, get on your knees and fight like a man. Meaning find that place of prayer and intercession. Because the breakthroughs that you have experienced, whether you know it or not. Sometimes it's your prayer. Sometimes it's the prayer of others praying for you, because either you don't know what to pray or you just don't have the fortitude to be able to pray it. I'm grateful to those who pray for me, those who understand the calling on my life and pray and intercede. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Paul says, though troubled on every side, we are not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. David had a decision to make. That decision was, do I just give up? Do I let him stone me? He said, no, I ain't going out like that. It says he got off to himself and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. He began to remind himself. He began to remind himself of his years of forging ahead in trusting God. And I believe that some of you here have some years of forging ahead in trusting him. And I'm telling you, every now and then you need to remind yourself. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. That's what it says in Lamentations. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Great is the faithfulness of God. Eric, D flat. I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back except to remind myself. David had a discipline just like Jesus had a discipline. David said, bring me the ephod. It says he found a place of worship. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I believe he reminded himself of the faithfulness of God down through the years of his life. At that stage of his life, he'd already killed a lion. He already killed a bear. He'd already killed Goliath. He was already delivered from Saul. History. History with God. Anybody here got history with God? Come on. Anybody out there, do you have history with God? Because if you do, God is saying, trust me all the more now. Forge ahead in trusting him. I'm talking about faith. So let me give you these 7 points real quick. 7 things David did to forge ahead in trusting him, in trusting God. Number one, he separated himself from others. He separated himself from others, because you must know this. Others can push you into crisis or pull you into theirs. I'm talking about a place of discipline right now. He separated himself from others. Others can push you into crisis or pull you into theirs. They can look at you because you're in that place of faith. You're in that place of trusting God. And they'll say to you, well, why aren't you upset? And the truth is, your flesh may be screaming, but you got somebody on the inside who's stronger than the flesh and has the ability to bring it all up under subjection. See, it wasn't that David was disconnected from his feelings about it. He just knew, if I go the way that they've gone, I'm going to end up dead. So I've learned sometimes, even in the midst of crisis, when everybody, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'll be right back. Because I can't get pulled into your emotional response to this situation. Jesus would retreat. He would retreat from people. You must discipline your thought life so that you don't let others sway your thoughts or your emotions. It can be on your job because everybody's going through something and you begin to talk about the things that you're going through. Before you know it, you're taking on the feelings and emotions of another employee that's not even a believer. I had that happen to me one time. I'm not proud of it. I remember I was working for this printing company and it was, you know, it just wasn't a great situation. And I remember I was getting disgruntled about it. And I remember sitting in the car with this guy on lunch break. And he's telling me how, you know, he doesn't like it. I'm telling him how I don't like it. And he starts to cussing and I start to cussing. Right. Now, see, don't be looking all holy. You're like, what? Right. Come on. I'm looking at y'all like y'all acting like,
come on.
Oh, what? Come on, some of y'all be right on the tip of your tongue. You just want to go right there with everybody else. I'll never forget it because it checked something in me. I was like, where'd that come from? Holy Ghost said it came from you. You're not as saved as you think you are. Don't let others sway your thoughts or your emotions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways, talk to Him. And He will direct your path. Counsel is good. The Bible says that there is safety in the multitude of counsel. There's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. But there is no counsel greater. No counsel more accurate. More counsel, more truthful than that of God. Holy Spirit. The Bible says that David got off to himself, and when he got off to himself, he didn't pray. He didn't pray. You know, oh God, they want to kill me. No. He knew exactly what to do. Second thing he did, you see it there on the screen. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He reminded himself of God's faithfulness in his life. I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back, except to remind myself that God, you have kept me by the power of your might. You have kept me over and over. You have kept me a testimony of your grace. You have kept me over and over. To you I give all my praise, for God, you have kept me. I believe David could have sang that song. He could have wrote that song. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He reminded himself of God's faithfulness. See, if you're going to forge ahead in trusting Him, there's times when you need to separate yourself from all the chatter, get to yourself, and then begin to encourage yourself in the Holy Ghost. The third thing is, he worshiped God in the midst of his loss and pain. Yes. He offered up the sacrifice of praise. God, I love you. God, I praise you. I exalt you. I exalt you above this situation. I exalt you above all that I see before me. I worship you because you're God, and you're God all by yourself. For what I see, you already saw it. You already knew it. And so I worship you and I praise you. And I believe you for the outcome. He worshiped in the midst of the loss and the pain. That's forging ahead in trusting him. The fourth thing is, he believed there was hope. He believed there was hope. He believed there was still hope. And then he asked for the ephod, the priestly garment, to make connection. To make connection. He prayed and he sought God for direction. This goes back to an earlier teaching when I talked about the four things that all of us as believers must find ourselves doing from time to time. As we're faced with crisis, as we're faced with the circumstances and the situations, we must assess the situation. Accept the challenge that the situation presents. And then we access the power of the kingdom. That's what David is doing again. For you see, that's what he did in the Valley of Elah against Goliath. When he showed up there, he assessed the situation. What's going on, guys? What's going on here? What's going on? Somebody tell me what's going on. And his brother tried to go off on him. He said, I ain't talking to you. Somebody else, tell me what's going on here. What will the king do for the man that takes out this giant? He assessed the situation. And then he says to Saul, he says, I'll do it. He accepted the challenge that the situation presents. And the king said, well, here, take my armor. He says, I can't use your armor. It's not proven. It's not proven. I want you to hear me when I say this, when I talk about forging ahead and trusting him. When I talk about faith, there is your faith, my faith, other folks' faith. Meaning this, I can give you principles of how I live my life and walk out my faith life. But my armor is not your armor. Your armor is not my armor. And this isn't a one faith fits all.
That's it.
It's important that we recognize that. David recognized, hey, that's some nice armor, but that won't do me any good. I got to go with what I know. I got to go with God in the way that I know God. And so at best, when you're looking for counseling, at best, they can share with you the word of God, godly principle, godly wisdom. But at the end of the day, it's going to be your faith. It's going to be your forging ahead in trusting him.
So good. Amen.
David said, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it with your armor. And scripture says he went and got 5 smooth stones. And then you access the power of the kingdom. David, when he went into that valley, he didn't go in as David. He went in as a child of God.
That's right.
And when he got there, he acknowledged the covenant. That's how he accessed the power of the kingdom. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would defy the armies of the living God? What he was saying to him or to them is he doesn't have a covenant. He's not in relationship. What are we doing standing out here being afraid? We've got God. You've got God.
Hallelujah.
And then it says he actively engaged in the matter. How do we know that? Because the Bible says he walked out in that valley and he prophesied to Goliath and says, today I'm going to kill you. He says, and the birds will feed off of you. And then it says he ran towards him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Forging ahead.
Yes, sir.
Entrusting him. Number seven, my last point concerning David and Ziklag. He responded in faith and recovered all.
Amen.
So, as I end out this time, and then we're going to worship in our giving, I want you to hear me when I tell you what's weighing in the balance right now for many of us and for many of you is faith. Forging ahead in trusting him. Forging ahead in trusting him. It's in Hebrews 10:35 that says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, but you have need of endurance or patience, that after you've done the will of the Father, you might receive the promise. It's talking about faith. Forging ahead in trusting him. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by forging ahead in trusting him. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we do not as those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe of the saving of the soul. I wrote about this in my book, and it's worth repeating again because it was a defining moment for me in my journey of faith. And that is, shortly after coming off my job and stepping out in faith, things begin to go the opposite way of the way I thought they would go. And in that moment, I was faced with a decision. Do I keep going the way that I'm going, or do I stay the course? And I'm riding around on that day, and I decide to go by a friend's house, a team member of the ministry of Ayers at the time. And that was that brother right there, Keith. Keith and I walked together in ministry 35 years ago in Columbus, Ohio. Amen. Keith is an incredible man of God, Amen. Singer, songwriter. And I went to Keith's house, and Keith was having lunch. And I am really in that place of saying, God, what do I do? And Keith says to me, hey, man, God gave me a scripture to give you. I said, yeah, what is it? And it was this right here. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of the Father, you might receive the promise. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I see it to this day sitting at your table.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the Message Bible, it reads this way. I'm almost done. So don't throw it all away now. See, that's what God was saying to me. See, when you're forging ahead and trusting him, faith will be tested.
Yes.
And right now, church, hear me when I say to you, the body of Christ is in a season of testing. That's why many of you are challenged the way that you're challenged right now. It's why many of us are challenged the way that we are right now. But you must forge ahead in trusting him. It's called faith. So don't throw it all away. You were sure of yourselves then, meaning when you started. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we're not quitters. I said, we're not quitters. I'm going to say it again. We're not quitters. I'm not a quitter. We're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. Would you thank the Lord for this word? I'm thanking him for this word.
Bless your name, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Forging ahead in trusting him. Forging ahead in trusting him. The scripture says that David rallied the men who had the strength to go, yes, told the rest, stay with the stuff, and he made his way down the road, found a man who was sick, who was part of the group that took his families. God left him by the side of the road. When David inquired of him, do you know anything about this? He said, yes, I do. He said, can you take me to them? Yes, I can. I just have one request, that you don't kill me. David said, you have my word. Show me where they're at. And if you know anything about the scriptures, the rest of the story, the Bible says that they recovered all.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Faith. Forging ahead in trusting him.